Hey everyone, welcome back to the Woofing Possum podcast, episode number 39, where today I'm going to be talking about time and kind of time in relation to kind of working with our dogs, training with our dogs and doing all that kind of good stuff. But before we dive into it, I have to share, well, I'm not going to share all the news, but I have to tell you guys in the next couple of weeks, I've got some amazing people that I'm talking to. One of which, I won't lie, is a huge, huge inspiration, a phenomenal world-class trainer who is just a phenomenal human being as well. I'm so excited to talk to them, and I can't wait to bring you that episode when we do. So keep your eyes peeled for more episodes dropping with some amazing kind of guests and interviews in the next couple of weeks. But until then, you've got my dulcet tones once again, and we're going to dive into this whole concept of time when training our dogs. So here we go. So time is one of the, honestly, probably one of the biggest questions I get asked, especially when doing kind of a lot of one-to-one work where kind of me and my client and their dog are working on quite a specific or challenging kind of situation or behavior that we're trying to modify and evolve. And it's a really interesting thing. I'm not quite sure where it comes from when it comes with our dogs and this fascination with kind of putting a deadline or a time on it. But it is a really common question that I get asked. And so hence why I want to talk about it on the podcast, because it's one of those strange things where I think if you do anything in life that is new, so if you're going to learn to drive, learn to play an instrument, I don't know, get fit, train for a sporting event, plan a holiday, kind of everything in life has a time construct around it, but it's very rare that it's a definitive timeline. So, for example, a good few years ago now, we had a little bit of work done on our house, and just to kind of make it a little bit kind of nicer to live in, and save the expense of moving. So we went through that process of kind of finding an architect and builders and all that kind of stuff. And one of the key questions I had again was time. Kind of how long is this going to take? How long are we going to be without a kitchen? And how long are we going to be without this? And, you know, how long is it going to take to do that? So I had lots of time-orientated questions. And it was really interesting because even though that was a factor for me, very quickly, obviously talking to the professionals, you understand that it's nothing's that linear. It doesn't quite, you know, we have best laid plans, we have timelines, you know, we have an idea of how things would go if everything ran smoothly and everything gets delivered on time and the weather works perfectly and all this kind of stuff. But there's a lot of variables that are often outside of people's control when you're taking on a new challenge or tackling a problem or even, like I say, learning a new skill. So I've been bumbling around trying to learn guitar for, well, far too long than I care to admit at the moment. I haven't really done it with any structure. I haven't had regular lessons. I haven't dedicated certain times in my diary every day or the week to practice it. It's one of these kind of pick up, put down type hobbies, which if I think of how long I've had that guitar that my wife bought me for Christmas many years ago, and if I'd practiced every day, how good I could potentially be now. But, you know, for whatever reason, I haven't, and it's one of those things. But it's that really interesting mindset that we approach any situation with. Time is a really important marker or event or goal that we can get a little bit fixated on. And then when kind of training with our dogs, it's really, really similar. So I've just finished a batch of puppy classes and also what I call my foundation classes, which is for dogs over kind of 6 months and older who haven't really done any kind of trainer class-based stuff historically. And so we go through all the usual skills, all the kind of the foundations, really, that is really good to learn. How to, you know, build that focus and connection with your dog, how to help promote loose lead walking, how to build on recall, how to promote settling behaviors, how to do stationary behaviors, how to play, how to build that confidence and bond, all these kind of things we cover. And again, a very common question I get asked is kind of, how long is it going to take to train my dog? You know, how long is it before I have that perfect loose lead walk for an hour's walk without any kind of pulling or any kind of parts where my dog ignores me for other things in the environment? And when people ask that question, I've had a few fantastic clients, particularly in the last batch of classes, who we could kind of have quite a good debate and a good kind of conversation about it. So rather than it being a little bit more transactional questioning, we kind of really discussed it in class, which I absolutely love and it absolutely fascinates me. And we were talking about that kind of whole concept of why is why is time such a thing? What is it about when can I achieve this goal? Why is that such a motivating factor? And what was really interesting is a few clients admitted that there was a belief that the time, as in that passage of time, would kind of therefore bring result. So in 6 months' time, hypothetically, I would have a dog that did all of these skills perfectly. And that goes into that debate of it's not about time, it's about effort. So would somebody who does two minute sessions a day for 2 weeks have similar outcomes to somebody who did one session a week for 6 months? And I love this conversation because what I could see happening with those in the classes we were talking was this kind of shift away from it's not actually time related. So even though time is very much a focal point for us, it's actually about that effort, the time spent, the work that we put in, the practice, and seeing that progression take place to ultimately get to our goals. And the time is kind of a less relevant factor, really, other than the time that you're investing into, obviously, you know, working with your dog, training, practicing, doing that good stuff. But it's not like days will pass and your dog will magically get better at doing certain skills just because those days on the calendar have passed. And this got me really thinking, and even with myself, kind of how much we can kind of shift our mindset to time and how long am I living in this situation, or how long am I going to have to kind of work around this problem, or how long am I going to have a baby gate in my house to prevent my dog charging at the front door, or whatever kind of strategies and management or training that we're doing, kind of that duration of it is that real focus for people. And literally in the same weekend, my Betty Boo got to meet a beautiful little puppy. Clients of mine have just taken on a new pup. It's absolutely stunning. He came with mum and dad with their other dog. Their other dog was taking part in a social club session, and dad had a new pup in a papoose up at the venue. There's horses, it's an equestrian place, so there's lots of animals, horses, obviously me, the other dogs, etc. So there was lots of socialization enrichment, obviously, for that dog to experience. So he brought him up in the little chest carrier to kind of just take in the sights and the smells and walk around with dad. And Betty got to say effectively hello. She ran over to the fence once she realized there was a puppy in the air in the chest carrier. She had a bit of a jump up, all excited. She dropped straight back down to her feet. She was listening to me. She was being nice and calm. Then she got really inquisitive. Now, why that was important is because Betty does struggle with her emotions around other dogs. She can get very kind of nervous and excited in probably equal measure when she sees other dogs, especially ones she doesn't know. And that can often mean that she'll just kind of lose her mind for a little bit, get all giddy, run around, have a bit of a bark before she kind of settles in and relaxes and enjoys the company of those other dogs, or even better when she just completely ignores them. And I realized how long it's taken for us to get to that point. It's been about 3 years. And then that got me thinking of how would that message land for me as a professional to a client or a pupil or a student. And they asked me a question of how long is this going to take? And I went, it would be 3 years. And I could just imagine how probably demotivating that would be to hear. But then I've got that dilemma of, but it's not going to be 3 weeks either. And again, nothing's this linear anyway, so I couldn't even put a timeline on it if I tried, because there are too many variables when it comes to kind of working and training and helping out with dogs. And I just got fascinated with this. What answer is somebody looking for when they ask that question? Similar to how I did with the builders, kind of, I'm not really sure what I was expecting. Was I after my expectations being managed? So it was less about the the kind of duration, but more just to give me a ballpark idea, is it time, you know, of how long am I potentially kind of going to be doing this stuff? Or are people asking that question with a real definitive deadline type mentality of, you know, I've got 6 weeks to invest in this, and if I don't achieve my results in 6 weeks, then kind of, you know, throwing the towel or whatever it might be. And as you can probably tell, folks, I didn't really come here to make a specific point about time, but it's just one of those concepts that I think we can get wrapped up in when we are looking at working on things without dogs, and we are, particularly if you're dealing with a behaviour scenario that is disruptive, you know, to your life. Again, I'm going to pick on poor Betty Blue. Try that again. Poor Betty Boo, bless her. And if you have a dog that, for whatever reason, is struggling to go on a dog walk with you because they do get overwhelmed or overly excited or overly anxious around some of the things that are in the environment, and that makes those walks and those outings honestly stressful, I can understand why the time factor becomes a focal point. And I kind of sit there and I think back to when I was in that situation with Betty, but even my wife and I had this conversation about kind of how long, you know, that how much our life would have to change to kind of accommodate her needs, how disruptive that was going to be, and therefore how long are we effectively going to live like this? How long is this going to be our life for? And it wasn't till I was working with another professional and talking about that thing that lots of us trainers say, which is about progress, not perfection, that it kind of shifts our mindset away from the duration and the time scale, but to those little steps, those little improvements and those little goals. And how long they take is ultimately down to the effort and time I put in, my dog's emotional state and welfare, and all these other variables that we're constantly playing around with when we're working with our dogs and helping them out through situations. So this debate, going back to it in class at the weekend, kind of, it was really fascinating. You could see these kind of penny drop type moments with kind of with my students in class, where I think as they asked the question, probably a bit like me with a builder, I don't really know what I was looking for as an answer. I don't know if there was an expectation management outcome or whether I had a definitive timeline in my head that I was hoping to achieve. It was kind of just this generic question that I felt was important and I felt I had to ask and I wanted to know. And I can't say the answer to that question would have really changed anything. If that builder had said to me it was going to be 6 months or 3 months, would that have changed the approach? Because we'd already knew what we wanted to do. We already knew the design that we would like. We knew, you know, it was going to result in disruption of, you know, kitchens being ripped out and walls being ripped out and kind of foundations for an extension and all that kind of stuff coming into play. So we knew it wasn't a small job. It wasn't just somebody coming in to change a few, you know, kitchen cupboard door handles. So I kind of understood it was a big task. And when I asked that question, like I say, I'm not really sure what the outcome was going to be. So when I'm posed with that question from clients, and probably when you're sat there and you're kind of looking at situations with your dogs and trying to think, kind of, yeah, how long is this going to take? How long am I going to be in this situation? When will this get better? All of these questions are rooted in time and duration. And for all I think they're valid, and we can't help but ask ourselves those questions, it's made me very aware that it's kind of the wrong question to ask. Because it is about that progress. It's about that progression. It's how do we look at what we're trying to achieve, and how do we start to track that and measure it in a way that we can feel better about it? Let's be honest, that part of these questions is about motivation. I think a lot of those time-orientated questions is that it gives us that metaphorical light at the end of the tunnel. So if somebody comes along and goes, yeah, don't worry, we're going to smash this in a couple of weeks or a couple of months or whatever it might be, it kind of gives you this hope, I assume. Yeah, I think it would be. It'd be hope. It would. There's that light at the tunnel. I've only got to ride this out for a couple of weeks, a couple of months. I'll put the effort in for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, whatever it might be. And then things will get better. Now, from a personal perspective, that worries me massively. because of those variables that we mentioned before, it's I'm personally uncomfortable giving a time frame because there's so many things that can derail it. You know, what if that person's work gets really busy and they can't spend the little times during the day doing the little exercises? What if, like it has been recently in the UK, you know, quite a lot of storms and back-to-back storms, meaning honestly trying to get out there and enjoy the outside world or work on something is just not really been an option, and kind of hunkering down has been the approach. So you're going to get all these little kind of hiccups and upsets and general life as well, you know, whether it's families, whether it's work, whether it's, you know, just kind of maintenance of house and whatever it might be that you've got to do is kind of just day-to-day living. All of these things can throw us curveballs, and therefore that fixation of time again, it just becomes almost an irrelevant question. But I get why we ask it. So I suppose for me, the purpose of doing this particular episode, folks, was around that kind of, if you find yourself in that situation, if you find yourself asking how long, when will it end, when will it change, when does something going to get better, whether that's whether you're working with a professional or just doing things on your own or working with friends and family, whatever it might be, if you can, try and do that analysis. Try and, you know me, guys, I'm a big fan of kind of reflection and trying to analyse myself as much as kind of my dog or the situation that I'm in. So try and do that. If you find yourself asking or feeling like, you know, it's never ending and that your mindset is very time orientated, that there's no end in sight, there's no light at the end of the tunnel, how long is it going to take, when will things get better, all of those types of questions are rooted in duration and time. So when you find yourself kind of in those mindsets or asking yourselves those questions or asking them of other people, other professionals, see if you can reflect a little bit. See if you can find out, why am I asking that question? What is it about that question? And what would the answer be? What am I looking for in that answer? And is there an acceptable answer? And if there is, what makes it acceptable? And what very quickly I think you'll hopefully find is you kind of can't get those right answers from it. I think it's a bit of a milestone or a marker. It's something that we do focus and fixate on, but its actual impact, I think, is almost, like I said, it feels like it's almost kind of irrelevant. Other than generating hope, that's the only thing I can think of when we ask those time-orientated questions around our dogs that I think it's trying to do. Whether you know, even going back to classes, puppies, you know, the teething I really can't speak today, sorry folks. The teething, biting, mouthing type activities of puppies, the toilet training. If you've got adolescent dogs who are, you know, a little bit kind of Jekyll and Hyde day to day as part of their growing up and their hormonal changes. When you're asking those time-orientated questions, the only thing I think, from my experience of working with clients, that they're looking for is that hope that things get better or get easier or become more enjoyable. And that's where, for me as a professional, I think it's my job and my duty to try and change that mindset, to try and get you to focus on something different. Stop counting the days and the weeks and the hours. Let's start looking at those measures of success and not progress that's going to show you that you're on the right track, that things will get better, that things are improving. And where they're not, then we can do things about it, and we can, you know, change tact and modify our plans and, you know, change our strategies towards each individual dog. But that's hard, because as humans, you know, we are so conditioned around time. It's one of those things that it kind of pretty much dictates everything of life. You know, it's this construct that we've came up with. There's hours in the day, there's watches and clocks and all that kind of good stuff. And we get almost obsessive about it. And I totally understand why. In modern human world, I completely get it. I understand why we live that way. So this isn't some weird, preachy, father time bashing exercise. But when it approaches our lovely animals, our companion animals in our life, they're not computers, they're not robotic, they will change and flex as much as we will. So if I go back to the guitar analogy, how long does it take to learn guitar? Well, I don't know. How long does it take to learn guitar? Can you ever stop learning guitar? I don't think you can. I'm a big music fan, as you will probably know. So kind of reading interviews with some of my favourite musicians, they often make references of always learning and always developing and always kind of evolving and that kind of stuff. So there isn't really an end to that. Same way for me as a professional dog trainer. I don't stop. I have a huge part of my life that is what we call continual professional development, because the world changes, more information comes available, there's more studies, more science, things that I can research and develop on, skills I can learn, which means I never get to a point and stop learning and go, right, I'm now a dog trainer and I'm a perfect dog trainer and I can never get better, therefore I stop. We evolve and we get better and we get more experience and we deal with more people and more dogs and all that kind of stuff. Again, going back to the gym that I'm not doing despite joining a fantastic new gym, I can look and go, well, how long is it going to take me to lose weight? How long is it going to take me to get fitter? How long is it going to be before I can, I don't know, bench press whatever weight it is I'd like to bench press? And no amount of professional in that industry is going to be able to answer that question. What they will probably do, though, very similar to a good dog trainer, will go, actually, let's start breaking that down into achievable goals. So, Greg, you want to learn the guitar. So rather than getting focused on how long it's going to take to learn a guitar, why don't we break it down into maybe some chords or some songs? So how long is it going to take to learn a song on a guitar that consists of three chords for you to be able to play it from start to end, you know, without kind of breaks, with nice fluid chord changes, and really master that one particular song? And I know for a fact that that's kind of how it works. You know, if you work with a good tutor, a good teacher, a good instructor, they will do that. Driving instructors, personal coaches in gyms, musical instructions, good people who you work with in day-to-day life when they're helping you learn the job or a new part of a job or whatever, they don't expect you to become an expert in everything instantly. You've got to pick up all these various different components, learn them, master them, and over time you put them all together. So when we do look at our dogs, and when we look at skills that we're trying to learn with our dogs or behaviours that we're trying to modify and improve for a happy and harmonious life, try wherever possible, even though those time questions will absolutely pop up in your head, as they still do to me, very quickly acknowledge them and then very quickly try to exchange them for a measure or a marker that you can really track and really understand and see that progress with. So get less fixated on the duration or how long it's going to take or that time. And what I would absolutely encourage everybody to do is focus on creating those goals that give you that hope. Make those goals easy to achieve, just step by step by step. We're just going to do those little building blocks and build it up properly and strongly so that we can see that progress. And the other reason it's so good to do it that way as well is it's fun, because now I'm not trying to climb Everest. I'm just going up the bank at the end of my street and I can achieve that and it's easy and it wasn't too bad and it didn't have all this looming danger and, you know, impossible preparation to go through to achieve it. Just a small little step, small little goal, and then you will succeed. You will get that buzz that we all get when, you know, things go right and we see those little wins and we get that improvement, and that will motivate and fuel you more to continue. And that motivation and that fuel to continue is worth so much more than, honestly, that kind of idle hope that an arbitrary date in the diary would give you, because the approach, the mindset and the manner is completely different. We're now not clock watching, we're now not calendar watching, waiting for this, you know, miracle day to come along where things apparently are going to get better. What I'm actually going to do is shift myself into very small, easily accessible actions to allow me to drive me and my dog forward, have some fun together and enjoy that time together to achieve these little steps and these little goals. And if it takes 100 little steps and little goals to get to my ultimate goal, fine, no issue with that whatsoever. But what I can do is actually track that then. I've got 100 little steps that I can kind of tick off my list as we go, and I can see that progress and I can see that succession and I can see how things are going to get better, and I can speed up, slow down, and I can manage it depending on what life throws my way. And that, folks, is just absolutely the way to go. That's what builds your success. That's what makes it enjoyable. And it's what takes away a lot of that feeling that you get when, if there is a deadline and it's missed, and then the panic and the dread and the worry and the hopelessness that all then kind of spirals, which can happen when you are working towards a particular date or deadline, it gets rid of it. Because now I'm just focused on that one little task. So, I think that's it, folks. I probably could waffle on about this a lot longer, but hopefully you're getting the sentiment of why I wanted to talk about it and why this natural desire to focus on time and duration is part and parcel of our life and something that we have to acknowledge is there. 100% we do. But if you find yourself focusing on that with your dog and with a challenge that you might be facing, or with a goal that you're trying to achieve, whether that's, I don't know, sport competition with your dog or something like that, very quickly, and if you need help, please seek out good quality ethical professionals to help you with this, but get that support and work on shifting your mindset away from the time and the duration to the goals and the steps and those little wins, because the motivation that comes along with that is just so much more empowering and so much more sustainable than kind of getting hung up on how long it's going to take or when will it end or whatever that kind of time-bound question that you're asking yourself is. Folks, thank you so much again for joining me for episode 39, talking all about kind of time and the crazy questions that we ask ourselves. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope it's given you a little bit of food for thought. As I mentioned right at the top of the episode, we have some amazing guests coming in the next few weeks. So I really hope you look forward to kind of hearing those chats. But until next time, take it easy. Enjoy that time with your dog, folks. Have a bit of fun. Set those achievable goals. And yeah, time to rethink how we approach our dog training. But until then, take care. Bye-bye. Hey everyone, thanks again for listening to the Woofing Possum podcast. As always, if you do want to get in touch, you can find us on social media. I'm at Great Paws NE, which is Great Paws NE for Northeast, on both Facebook and Instagram. You can also contact me via my website, which is greatpaws.co.uk. And you can also consume some free online courses at greatpawsgang.co.uk. Excellent. Thank you very much, folks, and we will see you soon for our next episode.